Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on our Thomas Village Baptist Church Facebook page. Those of you who tune in regularly to us, we thank you for joining us tonight. On this stormy night, right before we went on, I heard a loud rumble of thunder outside, so it seems like Duffield's about to get hit with a little more rain and things like that. We certainly need it. We're thankful for the rain. God knows what we need. So he sent the storms and the rain and knows exactly what we need. In the way of announcements, before we get into our devotion tonight, our devotion is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It'll be the first seven verses and part of verse 8. If you want to go ahead and turn there. But in the way of announcements tonight, our FM transmitter has arrived. It is connected. And you can have your vehicles air on during the drive-in services on Sunday morning. We'll have a radio frequency that you can tune into, and you can hear the service broadcast through an FM frequency in the parking lot here at church. So we'll now have two drive-in services on Sunday, one Sunday morning and one Sunday evening, and those will all be drive-in services, but we know the weather is getting a lot hotter now. Of course, we're in the middle of July, so it's supposed to be, so you can sit in your car with your air conditioner running and listen to the service through our FM transmitter, and if you'd like to come on Wednesday night, that's fine. You can do so. Prayer needs tonight, the lost, the backslid, marriages, the depressed, Tommy and Alma Mullins, Riley Clements, Vicki Haley, Judy Owens, Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Pauline Weiniger, Brother Toddy Kearns, Johnny Johnson, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jeanette Carter, Kent Smith, Kinsley Roberts, Linda Jordan, Brenda Brown, Lynn Mullins, Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Nolan Hensley, Eddie Hood, we've heard good news on both of those, Jill Dysart, Merrill Edwards, William and Don Daniels, Cleveland Sexton, Gina Franks, Mary Snodgrass, Sheila Stanley, JC and Derek Osborne and their unborn triplets, Cindy Osborne, Catherine Ward, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Hazel Stanley, Peggy Stanley, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson, Jay and Ruby Keck, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Henrietta Roach, Bobby and June Jesse, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, and our national elections in November. Let's certainly remember those. We've recently had some local elections. Apparently we'll have some state elections, if not this year, but in the future. Certainly pray for all of those that God will place exactly who needs to be in office there. He knows what he's doing. And that doesn't necessarily mean a good person. You know, we look back in the Bible, we see that Pharaoh was in charge and his heart was hardened toward God. So God knows what he's doing and exactly who to put in office and in the right place. And if it's your person, good. If it's not your person, understand that God's still in control. So with that, we'll go into our devotion tonight. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for all that you're going to do, Lord. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the rain that you've sent this week, Lord. Lord, we certainly have many on our prayer list. Number one, the ones who don't know you, Lord, the lost and the backslidden, Lord. And you know all the names on our prayer list, Lord. And you know all of the names who are not on our list who stand in need of prayer or something from you tonight, Lord. You know all those situations, Lord, and we just lift them up to you and remember them, Lord. We're thankful for what you have provided in order for us to extend the gospel and our services to people. And we just thank you for all for allowing all of those things, Lord, the technology, the social media, the FM transmitter and things, Lord, so that in these times we can continue to share your word, Lord, even more so. We just love you and thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Watch over us, and may we ever be in your service. Amen. Well, tonight we go to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7, and the first part of verse 8. And if I had to title this devotion, I guess I would title it Toy Monkey. And I know that seems like a strange strange title or something strange to think about, but it ties right into this lesson. And 1 Corinthians 13 is often considered the Hall of Fame chapter of love. Hebrews, there's a chapter in Hebrews that's considered Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame chapter of faith. If there was a Hall of Fame chapter of love, this would be it, 1 Corinthians 13. So beginning to read in 1 Corinthians 13, and it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vanityeth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own way, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails." Now, one of the translations that I study from, a couple of them, the NIV and the CSB, the Christian Standard, charity there means love. That's the definition of charity. If you go back and search it in the Greek, you'll find love. So tonight, many of you will remember the toy monkey. He had cymbals, and he would clang together whenever you pushed the button and you turned it on. He would sit there and just bang those cymbals together. Now, for a while, for a short time, he might be entertaining. He might get your attention with those clanging cymbals. But after a while, he would get very annoying. He'd just be making a bunch of noise. And you would either have to turn it off or ignore it. And unfortunately, a lot of people today, as it says here in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, a lot of people today are like the toy monkey. They're just making a lot of noise. And we certainly see a lot of that going on this day and time. But the younger generations might not remember the clanging cymbal toy monkey. But if you tune into the movie Toy Story, you'll see him. His name's Charlie Chimp, and that's the toy monkey that that we're referring to. So, the toy monkey is the ultimate meaning of this evening's text as we go into the chapter of love. And I'm going to read you another translation. CSB it puts it this way: "If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Now, in other words, if I don't have love, even if I can speak eloquently among men, I can speak angelically, I can speak pleasing words, and I can come up with some of the most amazing messages and sermons and devotions and Bible studies and all of these things. But if I don't do that, or I don't have the spirit of love when I do that, the Bible says I'm nothing. And we know what nothing is. No credit whatsoever. Nothing. And so I can say the right things. I can recite the right verses. I could have been in church from a young age and know the right things to say. Appear to be the model Christian. But if I don't have love, I'm nothing but noise. Just like a toy monkey. Just sitting there clanging to make noise. That's all I am. That's what the Bible says. Now, let me give you a little background on these verses. Paul was trying to correct some of the problems that had arisen in the church in Corinth. And he wrote these letters not to run anybody down or to chastise anybody, but he wrote these letters in a spirit of love, perhaps with the exception of the sixth chapter. He wrote them in a spirit of love, and the reason that he did was he cared about the church, and he wanted them to know the things that they needed to do and how they needed to act and how they needed to live their lives for Christ in a spirit of love. And that's how he wrote, and that's how he was directing the church at Corinth and all of the churches that he wrote to. Philippi, Thessalonica, and all of the churches of Asia Minor that he wrote to were addressed in a spirit of love. And so he addressed some questions that the church at Corinth had sent to him. There was a letter delivered by three men, Fortunatus, Stephanus, and Acacius. And Paul deals with each problem individually in order as you go through 1 Corinthians. And he rebukes the parties which create a divisive spirit. And that's important to know because there are a lot of parties right now, even within the confines of some churches, that are promoting a divisive spirit, that are promoting dissension, that are promoting anything but love. And Paul was not writing in that spirit. He was addressing the problem. And what it boiled down to was he knew, and he wanted them to know, that they had a failure to humble themselves before the true wisdom of God. The Bible says the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord, the fear and knowledge of the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 13, as we said, that's the famous love chapter. And Paul's going to define what Christian love is. So let's define love by what it is, what is said in chapter 13. And we'll look at some things in that chapter that love is not. Because it's important, as I've said many times, it's important to know what's in the text. But it's also important to know what's not in the text. And Paul writes here some things that are the spirit of love, but he also writes some things that are absolutely not, so that we can contrast and compare whether we're in a spirit of love or not. And starting in verse 4, we go through the first part of verse 8. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, is not boastful, it is not arrogant. It's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not irritable, it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, and never ends. So, let's define love as it's used in these verses. Love here can be translated as agape. Now, agape love is the love that God has for man. And you may say, well, if that's the love that God has for man, how does that apply to me and my love for fellow man and my love as a Christian, as a follower of Christ? Well, we can't duplicate that. We can't duplicate God's love for man. There's no way. There's only one person that ever did, and that was Jesus Christ, God's Son. And there's no way we can duplicate that. We can strive to love our fellow man as God loves us. And that's what love in these verses are referring to. Colossians 3:12 further reinforces the idea of love in these verses. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. These verses begin with what love is. And then they alternate between what love is not before finally giving the conclusion and the ultimate goal of love. Now let me point out something here. Something very important. The attribute of God and Jesus Christ being the God-man sent from heaven as God's Son, being God made incarnate in the flesh, never condoned sin. He never loved sin. He loved the person that committed the sin. And that's hard for some people to understand. And let me explain it like this. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, He knew of her sins. He knew all about them. He told her to go get her husband, and she said, "I don't have one." And He said, "Truthfully, that's true. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your own." But in the end, He forgave her of her sins, but He told her, "Go forth and sin not." See, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the sins of the world that He was dying for were too much for God Himself to even look upon. He had to turn away from His own Son because His Son had the sins of the world upon Him and God couldn't stand to look at it. But He sent His Son to die for the sins of the world and to offer redemption for sinners. He doesn't love the sin. He condemns the sin, but He loves the sinner. And He offers the forgiveness for it. That's very important to know as we get into this. And that's very important to understand. So, love is patient and love is kind, first and foremost. Patient is to be, if you study the Greek word for patient, it means to be of long spirit and not to lose heart, to be long-suffering. God certainly is long-suffering with us. And I'm thankful that He is. You should be too. You should be thankful that God is long-suffering with us. And it gives us hope that there are people personally that I have prayed for many, 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 many years. And it seems like sometimes that the prayer, that they aren't changing, that that somehow the prayers aren't maybe getting through. But I can assure you that God is just as long-suffering with them as He has been with you. And to continue praying for those people, because God hears those prayers. And prayer certainly does change things. Now, God's attribute of long-suffering is seen in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That goes back to John 3:16, the most quoted verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world, out of love He gave His only Son, that whosoever... We passed a vehicle on the way to church tonight, had a sticker on the back that said, "I am a whosoever." Whosoever, that means all, anybody, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish. It's not the will of God that anybody should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. And so the Lord is long-suffering because that's not His will that any should perish and die and go to hell. Kind means to show oneself mildness. God has an attribute of kindness, as surely in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So you see here, we can't duplicate the agape love that God has for man, but we can certainly be Christ-like and try and love in God, as it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I'm glad that God in Christ doesn't forgive me like I forgive other people. Because I'm not very good at forgiving other people. But God, in His perfect love, forgives all sins, no matter what you've done. Mankind cannot duplicate that, does not duplicate that, but should strive and attempt to be that way. Now, once this verse establishes the important and key aspects of love, long-suffering and kindness, then it tells us what love is not. Then we have the basis of long-suffering and kindness. If we can get those, if we can begin to love like that, then we'll begin to scratch the surface of how God loves mankind. And we can strive to be Christ-like. And here's what love is not. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, does not keep a record of wrongs. It finds no joy in unrighteousness, but it rejoices in the truth. And love never fails. Let me get my notes here. Now let's look at what those verses are saying there. What love is not or does not do. It does not envy. Envy is defined to be heated with anger, jealousy, or hatred. In fact, the Greek word says a fervent anger. And fervent, I looked up that word, that kind of gives the idea of a pot that's boiling over, that can't be contained any further. Love does not do that. It does not envy. Envy among men is not of God. God's attributes of not being of envy is in James 3:16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Disorder means confusion, and the Bible further goes on to say this in 1 Corinthians 14:33, also some more of Paul's writings to the church at Corinth. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Envy stirs up strife. It stirs up anger. It stirs up jealousy. It stirs up hatred. It's not of God. It stirs up disorder and vile practices. And those things, the Bible says, God's not a God of confusion, but of peace. And those things harbor back to what Satan's ultimate purpose is, and that's to kill, steal, and destroy. Those things all kill, steal, and destroy in some way. And they're not of God. Is not boastful. Boastful means to brag, and the Greek word is a self-display of oneself. You ever heard the phrase, you better look out for number one because no one else is? Well, that's a lie. That's a big lie. A lot of people believe that. A lot of people believe that lie. I have a book that I have beside my bed. It says, Lies Men Believe. They could retitle that, Lies Everybody Believes. Because there's a bunch of them in there, and that's one of them. You better look out for number one because nobody else is going to. That is an absolute lie. God already looks out for you. He even if you're the vilest sinner, He blesses you and He looks out for you and He is long suffering with you. He gives you the next breath that you're not promised. That's His mercy towards you. So Jesus, when He walked this earth, He was not boastful of Himself. Even though He did many, many miracles, even though He did many, many great things, He always did it in the name of the Father, and He always gave honor to the Father and not Himself, because He was God incarnate in the flesh, and He gave no credit to Himself. So therefore, we should not give credit to ourselves. Everything. Now, there's nothing wrong every now and then with a pat on the back. I like a pat on the back. I like a good job every now and then. I like those attaboys. But it's when I begin to take those, especially in the confines of spreading the gospel, and I begin to think myself better than other people, and I begin to think myself a better deliverer of God's word than other people, that's when I'm being boastful. That's when I'm not coming to people and sharing the gospel in a spirit of love. And that's when I am nothing, as the Bible says. I am just making noise. Rude. Proverbs 29:11. This is the thing that love is not. It says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. I have a temper. Many of us, if we were honest, we would say we have a temper too. And we have a short fuse. And when somebody lights that fuse, we don't hold back. That's just human nature. Again, the Bible says it's a fool that gives full vent to his spirit. I've told people. I've given bad advice to people. I say, well, if you need to vent, just go right ahead. That's not a spirit of love. Yeah, sometimes we need to blow off steam. I understand that. But to do it to other people, that's absolutely not a spirit of love, and that's absolutely not an attribute of God. Aren't you glad that God has not poured out His full wrath? That God has not shown... Now, He's a jealous God, and He's a God that's prone to wrath. But if God poured out His full wrath upon mankind instead of sending His Son to die, there would be no hope for anybody. Would never have been. Now, self-seeking goes along with being boastful and bragging, irritable, to be angry or easily provoked, keeps no records of wrongs, meaning holds no grudges. That's another one where I fail. I'll just be honest with you. I fail at that one big time. Finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Meaning, God is not going to, when you come to Him and when you have the drawing power of His Spirit to come to know Him, He is not going to later on in your life say, "Oh, you remember what you did 20 years ago? You remember what you did 10 years ago? I just can't forgive that one. I just can't forgive that." That is the enemy lying in our ear that brings up those things. You know why? Because he can't cross the blood. He cannot cross the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ and His love, it's the thing that if we confess our sins, if we say that we're wrong, if we confess our sins to God, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He will never say, "I can't save you from that one. I can't forgive you from that one." And to cleanse us, thoroughly scrub. That's what cleanse means. To thoroughly scrub, to thoroughly remove any stain from all unrighteousness. Now, more on what love does. So you know what love does not do. Here it is. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. The Greek word for bears means to cover. That goes back to 1 John 1:9. Love covers all. It covers all sins. It covers all faults. It covers all that you have done. But you have to come to Him. You have to confess to Him. You have to confess to Him that you are a sinner. You have to confess to Him you need a Savior and that you believe that He is the one that can save your soul and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And it will bear all things. It will cover all things. Believes. That means to be persuaded of the truth. There is a time in the Bible where we have an account. This is almost, I'm persuaded. You almost convinced me of the truth. But to believe means to fully be persuaded. Not coerced, not drug, not something that's forced upon you, but to be persuaded of your own accord. To be persuaded of the truth of God's Word and God's salvation. That's the love of God. Even when Jesus was dying on the cross, there was persuasion of the truth. The Roman soldier there believed. He said, "Surely this was the Son of God." He was persuaded that what Jesus had been saying was the truth, and he believed. That's the fundamental foundation of belief. Hopes. To await with full joy and confidence. I have full confidence that as a believer in Christ, that as a saved child of God, I have full confidence in my hope of eternal life. It's what I've been promised. And I have full joy that one day I will be in glory worshiping, forever worshiping at the feet of my Savior. That's full joy. That's hope. And love hopes all things. God is love. And without love, there can be no God. Full. Await with full joy and confidence. And finally, love endures all things to bear bravely through the hope in Jesus Christ. If all we had to hope for was this life, and all we had to hope for was men in this life, we'd be of all people most miserable if that was our only hope. But our hope is in Jesus Christ, to bear bravely through the hope in Jesus Christ. Now, the most important thing here is love never ends. Love never ends. That gives an eternal view of eternity. It is an eternal thing, love is. It will never end. And if you have the love of God, and you have the promise, and you have accepted His gift of salvation, His love for you will never end. Let me finish with this verse from Romans 8:38-39. You may be saying tonight, well, I've done all these things. Surely God can't cleanse me of everything that I've ever done. Yes, He can. And Romans 8:38-39 cements that. It says, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So don't make a bunch of noise. Don't be a toy monkey. Do things in the spirit of love as God has commanded us to do. Love one another. The greatest commandment is that you love. Love one another. Love the Father with all thy heart, body, mind, and soul. Don't be a toy monkey. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed tonight. Lord, we thank you for this message of love. It is the underlying root of why you sent your Son to die for us. Because you loved us so much. You loved the world that you gave your only Son to die on a cross, to bear our sins, to pay the penalty that we could not pay. We just love you and thank you for that, Lord. And I pray tonight, if there's anyone viewing this message or hearing this message tonight that does not know you, Lord, that they would come to know you in the spirit of love. Lord, and I pray tonight that if there are people out there, there are Christians that are being nothing but a noisy gong or clanging cymbals, I pray that you take this message and touch their heart so that they can be more than just noise. They can be more than just toy monkeys. We love you and thank you for your many blessings. In your name we pray. Amen. Be sure to join.